Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Awanda. Now Ed, we're going to start off in the energy sector with crude. Although today, crude is flat for the day. It did make a run higher in the morning, up to just short of about $85.50. Has pulled back a little bit, still in the high $83 region for a barrel of crude. Look, it really seems like the path of least resistance for oil continues to be higher, and that then brings in the whole question mark of what is too high of an oil price where it does start to impact the economy, where it does even start to impact even what the Fed or other central banks do, or do we just see more production coming out of the U.S.? Ed, what are your thoughts here? With oil trading in the, let's say, mid-80s, we haven't seen this level since late 2014. What do you think about oil, its run higher, and its impacts more broadly?
I think right now the energy market is extremely concerned that this global energy crunch is not going to ease up anytime soon. And it seems that a lot of these big swings are being determined on forecasts of whether or not we're going to have colder weather. And I think when you take a look at on the supply side, you've seen no signs from OPEC that they're willing to ramp up output. And in fact, you've heard from some OPEC Plus members saying that they're still producing under their OPEC Plus quota. So, well, for instance, like Nigeria just over the weekend announced that. And I think that, there's this belief that we're still not done with this pandemic. And I think that OPEC Plus is really... they're waiting before they raise their output because they need to see whether or not, this demand recovery is going to stick. And right now, you're still seeing COVID cases in some parts of the world that are rising and that are, prompting some leaders to contemplate whether or not they need to go back into lockdown or have restrictive measures. And if that's the case, that's really going to disrupt the short-term demand outlook. So I think right now you have a tight market that is not going to get extra output from OPEC Plus. In addition to that, this is a make or break moment here for climate change. You have COP26, the annual climate summit, which is run by the UN. They're trying to figure out their targets for cutting carbon emissions. I think Saudi Arabia, I think they were targeting 2060 or some part when I'll be well retired. I think you're probably going to see that there's going to be a lot of pushback here. But I think there has been tremendous progress that a large part of the world is ready to move forward in cleaner renewable energy. But right now, this global crunch is really going to have this market vulnerable to much higher prices. And I think that now you're probably going to see that oil volatility is going to remain elevated. And I think that, you'll probably see traders, though, be looking to buy any dip. I mean, right now we're down almost like 90 cents from, 85.50 on WTI. But now you're probably going to see that this market is going to remain very tight. And I think bullish sentiment is it's going to be undeterred unless you really get urgent action from the U.S. and China and tapping their reserves. And right now, I think they have to hold their cards right now. They can't just do that just yet. I think that's something that they'll have to do if we get $100 oil. So now you're probably going to see a market that is going to be completely fixated on whether or not we get more restrictive measures from COVID. And then also, too, the weather. And right now, that's... seems like it's looking like it's going to be a little bit colder in November.
Well, just on these higher energy prices, people should keep in mind that only about 30 to 40% of oil is actually used in transportation for airlines, which is definitely impacting airline flights as well, but for cars, for buses, et cetera. Most of the oil industry is used in plastics. It's used in industry. It's used in lubricants. It's used in, there's thousands of uses for the oil sector. So my question is, do you think these higher energy prices are eventually going to put the brakes on some of the growth in the economy? And could it be a headwind to the stock markets continuing to break out because energy is a tax on every other business and on the end consumers and their ability to purchase goods and services, consumer discretionary, because they're getting taxed at the pump every time they go get gas. So could these high energy prices be a headwind for the markets here?
I definitely think that's going to be the case. I think you have to look at corporate America. You have to look at earnings season. Like today, we heard from Kimberly-Clark, and they had to reduce their annual forecast because of these inflationary pressures, supply chain issues, and these higher transportation costs are really hurting a lot of these companies. And I think that you're probably going to see that negative impact is just going to get worse. And that's really going to, curtail a lot of production, a lot of manufacturing. And you'll see that there is so much pent-up demand from the U.S. consumer. But there's a lot of fears that now we're at a position where you're going to see a lot of products, holiday sensitive ones, that there's going to come a point where it might not look like you're going to be able to meet your deadline for holidays, and that is really going to possibly curtail some typical spending that we are anticipating. I think right now you're seeing this market, everyone's thinking that the growth from whatever is lost this quarter is just going to get it pushed into the first quarter, and a lot of that will happen, but that won't be the entire case, I think. So I think there is there should be some concerns that we need to start to see the transportation costs, the transportation issues become alleviated. And I think that right now there's still, I think, a lot of concerns that, 90 or $100 oil for a lot of businesses is really going to force them to cut back. And I think you're going to have that be the case for the consumer too. So the consumer is strong, but I think you have to remember, I think a lot of consumers are still dependent on oil prices. A lot do travel significantly for their day-to-day jobs. And I think that will really eat away at their discretionary incomes.
So Ed, on the flip side of that, higher oil prices do usually help out the oil companies. Do you see an opportunity in the oil companies that maybe have lagged this pretty drastic move higher over the last year and a half in oil?
Yeah. Energy stocks. I mean, I think that you're still seeing because of, I think, the shock that happened to the oil industry when oil prices went negative. Everyone has been defending their balance sheet, and because all of this this move higher in oil prices is still viewed, I think, by everyone, that it will ease, once we're in the warmer weather months, that you're not going to have that immediate rush to invest into new wells, and so you're basically going to see that these oil companies are just going to really capitalize on these higher prices, and they're still refraining from investing in new production. So that's why energy has been the best performing sector. I mean, even today, when you have oil prices little change or WTI down slightly, oil, it's I think still up over 1%. Energy stocks, that is, just lagging materials and consumed discretionary. And I think you're probably going to see that. This is just still very positive for the space, and I think that there's this growing belief that you're not going to have, an immediate abandonment of reliance on oil and crude, and this is probably going to, excite people that we abandoned our trade in oil too quickly, and these oil giants have embraced renewables too. So I think it's that they're focused on energy, and I think they're probably going to still remain attractive investments. But eventually, I think when we're beyond the first quarter, I think you'll see as prices start to moderate and kind of come back down to earth, then you'll see, those energy stocks then not be as attractive. But I think right now you're still in a bullish sentiment phase where that could last a little bit longer.
Well, Ed, you mentioned some of the energy companies also shifting to renewables, which they absolutely are. And you kind of led off with some of the The climate change summit on the impact of EVs and looking for cleaner solutions. Big news out of Tesla with Elon Musk over the last couple of days. And, you know, as much as we're focused on these high energy prices in oil, and as much as we're talking, you know, that's not going away anytime soon, there is that EV market starting to chip away at internal combustion engines. What do you make of the news out of Tesla, and what do you make of some of the news on that side of the equation?
I think Tesla's news is extremely exciting. I think their stock, I think it tentatively hit a $1 trillion market cap. And, Hertz's investment of 100,000 vehicles by next year is tremendous news that, you know, EVs, the time is now. There's been a major shift here. And I think this is really exciting a lot of, and I think a lot of people who are investing in Tesla stock, and I think it's a vindication for many that have stomached the volatility. If you follow Tesla's stock, I mean, it's fascinating to see how they've been able to thrive throughout the pandemic, and I think some of that. It has to be attributed to, you know, their ability to adapt to, you know, the global chip shortage. I think that, they're able to find alternative chips and adjust their software to handle them. And that's why they were able to deliver, you know, in those crucial months when everyone was pretty much shutting down production. So I think, Tesla has seen tremendous breakthroughs here. The Model 3 last month in Europe became the best-selling vehicle. That is something that I think, 5 months ago, no one would have thought that. I mean, you're dealing with, Volkswagen, Skoda, Renault. There's so many dominant players there. And that is, I think, really exciting. A lot of these Tesla investors, because you're seeing a significant breakthrough in Europe. Chinese demand has been strong. Tesla has managed to show tremendous growth there. And EV, electric vehicles, have, I think, still a tremendous upside here, as you're probably going to see a lot of the advanced world really embrace that as charging stations become more readily available, and as that investment in what is needed to make electric vehicles a little bit more attractive for most people, you're probably going to have, I think, more people look to Tesla as the leader right now. They're in a dominant position. Will they maintain there? That, you know, it's an extremely competitive space, but right now they have such a lead that you're seeing tremendous momentum here. And even Morgan Stanley today, they also raised their price target $300 to $1,200, and I think you're probably going to see that investors are looking to see that, okay, well, $1,000 does not seem like it's going to pose much resistance, and I think that you could probably easily make a case in the short term that there's probably enough momentum in here to take it to $1,100, I think this space is still, there is I think a lot more growth potential here, and that's why I think you're going to see a lot of investors really gravitate towards Tesla as their vehicles have such a lead across most of the other top manufacturers.
So that's the thing, though, right? A lot of the other top manufacturers and ones that sell more cars than Tesla, they are pivoting even more so to electric vehicles, with some timelines that are being considered very aggressive to move fully into the electric vehicle space. But this is competition for Tesla, right? And you can argue, and it's been argued many times, that Tesla is very much overvalued for the bottom line in terms of cars and it sells. But look, Tesla is great at capturing the imagination of investors and have them dreaming big. When do you think, though, Ed, that the other bigger players, car manufacturers, them entering and dedicating a lot more of their resources towards electric vehicles, when does that finally start to hurt Tesla?
I think you have to, consider, all the major players that are in this space. And I think, you know, for me, Apple Car is, you know, the second attempt by Apple to break into vehicles. And now, you know, it's been talked about that possibly, I think, 2024, but it seems that it probably really won't, you know, arrive until 2025 or even later. And I think that the more familiar car manufacturers, they've got their vehicles out now, and they're slowly progressing to committing to strictly EVs. But I think right now you still probably have Tesla with a good full year, 12 months from now, where you're still going to see them completely dominate, because the rest of the car industry has really I think the chip shortage will really alleviate itself probably starting second quarter of next year. And I think right now Tesla just has such a far advantage right now in having the product that, you know, the people want. And I think that there is this belief that you know, if you're looking for investing in a car for the next few years, right now, you know, the Tesla vehicle is very attractive right now on a price point and just by reviews. So I think that the space will get a lot more crowded in the next few years, but I think right now, you know, at least the next year, I think they're going to still be dominating the space. And then eventually, then you'll have Volkswagen, you'll have Hyundai, you'll have and GM will have more of a competition, angle that they'll try to chip away at Tesla. But I think right now people are really kind of making that clean break away from whatever loyalty they had into Tesla's now. So that'll be interesting to see how that evolves. But right now it seems it's still looking pretty good here for Tesla.
All right, Ed, we have to wrap it up here, but you know what? Elon also ties in nicely to the crypto space with some of his recent tweets as well, but we'll cover that next week. We'll dive a bit more into what Elon's doing in the crypto space and how that is continuing to play a pretty big role in some of the, at least short-term, volatility. But for right now, again, interesting moves, and really a main focus here being oil, as it does just continue to grind, or actually not even grind, but move fairly aggressively higher. We'll see where the rest of the action goes today, but hey, it already was up very close to that 85.50 level. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. I will post a link below this interview where everyone can read over your daily market note. And Ed, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.